passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everything and everyone. This week, this is always our first Thursday of the month, and we call this now Neutral News Thursday. If you haven't joined us for a while, you might used to be called Thirst Quenching Thursday when Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and the founder of IPM Nation and hypnotist and latest radio star on a drive time show 5 days a week in Manchester, New Hampshire, for which I cannot remember the call letters of the name, but that's all right. He'll tell me in a second when he tells you. so I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about remembering anything. I said my name. That's it. I've succeeded. I've done well this week. Here at Neutral News, Matt and I try to see if we can give you some neutral perspectives on some of the things that are going on, that's happening around the world, around our country. We're trying to see if we can eliminate the hype, and we can eliminate the hypocrite, and we can eliminate the biased, which means that we've now eliminated 98% of what's out in the media today. Is that a fair number, Matt? What do you think? Welcome on, Matt Connerton.
Hello, Dr. Kevin.
Hey, I do want to remind our listeners, this is a call-in show. You can call in. You can express an opinion. You can challenge an opinion. You can share something that you'd like to share. You can do that by calling 202-570-7057, he says in his best radio voice. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Doesn't that sound like a radio voice?
It sure does.
You know? You'd almost think I was on the radio. I just celebrated an anniversary. Did you see the anniversary I got celebrated on LinkedIn, Matt?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah.
What's the anniversary?
12 years. Dr. Kevin Show. I've been on the air for 12 years.
Oh. Well, happy anniversary.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I lose track. You know, we talk about it. I'll go, so how long have I known you? How long have I been on air? Blah, 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 blah. Well, it was on LinkedIn. I suddenly got all these, like, congratulations, happy anniversary, blah, blah, blah. And I looked back, and it was my 12th anniversary from when I started my first radio show. So I was like,
wow.
Now I know how long it is. I'll forget it in another 2 months, but, you know, that's okay.
Oh. Now, where did you start? Because you've been on Ohm Times for a couple of years now, right? I mean, time gets away from me, so I'm never sure how long anything has been. But when you started the Dr. Kevin Show, where did you begin?
I started the Dr. Kevin Show on Yaktivate, I think. It started as a podcast.
It was called Yaktivate?
There was a company called Yaktivate that did podcast. And I jumped from doing the podcast to going on to internet radio. And then I was broadcasting on two or three different platforms on internet radio. And that's when IPM Nation came in the picture. But I think very first shows. And then, of course, I did Voice America, and I did CBS Radio, and I did What's that one that a lot of people have radio shows on, that if you have a mic and a mouth, you can go on? There's no qualification. Blog Talk. My show used to be simulcast through Blog Talk. It was never exclusively on Blog Talk, but
yeah,
it was on Blog Talk, and it was on IPM Nation, and it was on, I can't remember, I think Voice America. And there was Web of Light Radio. And so anyways, yeah, I've been around.
You've been around.
I've been around.
There's a joke in there, but this is a, I think this is a family program, isn't it?
We are family. I got all my sisters and me. You don't mean that way, huh?
Well, let's not bring your sisters into it, because then it gets really weird.
Okay, tune in there.
You're not from the South, Dr. Kevin.
Oh, now there was a politically incorrect comment. Talking about
I disagree. Making fun of the South will never be politically incorrect.
So, that's my determination anyway. Okay. For our listeners, I also want them to know that they can still, like they've been able to do for years now, go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, for people who feel a little shy about calling in. And they can find at the top of the page right now, the page about neutral news. And they can write comments on there if they would like. If they're like, I don't know that I want to be on air. So again, that's facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N. And when you're there, make sure you like me because I'm a likable guy. So Matt, what's up with you? What's going on? Fill me in. What's all the news? I haven't talked to you for a while.
Well, you did mention, of course, I'm on WMNH, that's the call letters, 95.3 here in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we need to have you back on very soon, Dr. Kevin, because you need to see our fancy schmancy new studio, because you've been on the show once before and in our old studio. But beginning this week, we're in a brand new studio on a different floor in the building. And it is probably about three times the size of the studio that we were in before. There's lots of room, brand new equipment, brand new board and microphones and everything. It sounds incredible. And, so we need to have you back on soon so you can see the new digs and really experience it. But yeah, I'm on, 95.3 in Manchester from 4 to 6 p.m. Weekdays, and it's Matt Connerton Unleashed in the Afternoon is the official title of this program, and we do discuss a lot of national politics on the show, even though it's on a local FM station, so for people not in the area, you can tune in at WMNHradio.org, WMNHradio.org, you can listen live, or you can access the show, it goes up on demand, usually by about 6:30 p.m., and all the shows are archived there. And, of course, we do also replay the show at ipmnation.com as well. But it's been going really well. But, yeah, we need to have you back on. Well, you have an open invitation. You can come on anytime you want to. But we should do that soon.
Yeah, no, I want to come now. What floor is it on?
It's on the third floor. We were on the fourth. Now we're on the third. So which brings us a little bit closer to the people.
Ah, is that what it is? I was going to say it sounds like you've been demoted.
No, it's great. It's great. I've got the windows open. I'm actually looking out the window right now, and it's
Are you calling in from your studio, Mr. Connerton?
Yes. Well, I just got off the air doing my show. So, I can't really go home and then call you. So, I mean, I could, but then I'd be late for your show.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, and we don't want to do that. We definitely don't want to do that. So, I have, and speaking of things, you know, and the audience gets to listen to us as we kind of chat, and we're going to get into some neutral news in a minute, but, I'm starting to get the edited footage from the Web of Light Expo in April.
Oh, good.
So, you know, we had to have filmed 25 hours or more of a whole diversity of talks, because there was 32 talks. Many of them were, the two-thirds of them were 45 minutes, a third of them were a half an hour. So, you know, there's 5 hours of half an hours at least, and then the 45 minutes the 20, 45 minutes would be, I'm trying to think, it would be another 900 minutes of, it'd be another 900 minutes of taping.
Wow, that's a lot.
Am I doing that math right? 45 minutes of taping.
Oh,
and we taped.
I'm terrible at math.
We taped 45 minutes, and we taped 20 different presenters doing 45 minutes of talks. So basically, it would be 20 hours of talks. It would be 20 hours of talks minus 15 minutes, minus 15 minutes a talk. So about 15 hours, so probably between 20 and 25 hours of content that, and you know where that's going to be headed, right?
Yes.
Where's
Dr.
it going to be
Kevin
headed?
Channel, the Dr. Kevin and Friends channel, I should say, on IPMNation.com.
Yeah, the Dr. Kevin and Friends channel. So we're going to be loading that right up. In fact, I don't know, when was the last time you did a grab? Because we've got, have you started grabbing any of the dragons, unicorns, and other creative creatures to get on the thing?
I think so, but not the more recent ones. Yeah, we'll need to catch up on that. But yeah, because you got a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff. People might not know what that show is. You should talk about. Have you ever talked about that show on this show?
I don't know.
I don't think you have.
To be honest with you, I have our first break coming up.
A commercial.
A commercial. We'll be right back.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are
the inspired
and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we challenge everything and everyone. And today, we are challenging Matt Connerton. Yay, Matt! Matt is the founder of IPM Nation. He is also a TV and radio show host in his own right. He has currently... he has recently taken on the drive time in lovely Manchester, New Hampshire on W something, 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 and he'll fill the somethings in.
Ooh.
I got to have you
close.
Do something.
You were very close, Dr. Kevin.
What is it? W?
It's WMNH.
WMNH.
But you did get
the W.
You got the W. You nailed it. Yeah.
WMNH. Hey, 4 to 6, and you can get it online if you're not in Manchester, New Hampshire, and listen to it live. It's a show that tends to talk a lot about national politics, some local politics, and whatever crosses Matt's reality. Which
there's an easy way to remember
Kevin
the call letters.
Future. W,
oh, yes.
Manchester,
you
New
got,
Hampshire.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I figured it out this time around. One might also think it's great. So you were asking me about Dragons, Unicorns, and Other Creative Creatures, which is a new show that I launched about 6 weeks ago. I'm doing it with Rona Gofstein, who's also known, her writer's author's name is Rachel Kenley, who you know. You've been on the show.
Yes.
And it's to support and promote creatives. And so it's a show that comes out on a weekly basis through the Hudson Public Access. I have not had a chance to put the kind of energy through it that I have my Web of Light, because as you know, Web of Light gets picked up from Maine to California now. But at some mm-hmm. point, we're going to be, you know, turning the hairy eyeball to the dragons. I'm also taping a bunch of my poetry in little, like, poetry moment segments. And so those are like 1.5 minutes, because you grabbed my poetry corners I used to do. Those got to be on Dr. Kevin and Friends.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in Arizona still reading some of my poetry. So that's the new show. It's there. And of course we got Firefest coming in Pepperell, July 1st, which is Small Town Big Bang, raises money every year to have the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nonprofit, and we're going to have a huge event going on there from 11 to 9:30 at night out in the fields. It's going to have the 4th of July parade going by it at one point. At the end of the night, the fireworks will be right there, and all day long we're going to have vendors and face painters and dunking pools and cornholes and trains, and we're going to have climbing walls, and we're going to have bands playing all day long, and we're going to have an acoustic stage. And I'm still waiting for you to hook me up with some of your creatives. We're still looking for some people that want to take some time on the stage and then get off the stage and, you know, maybe sell a few CDs or promote where you can find them or where they're upcoming. And it's a wonderful opportunity. Last year, before we got involved with this event, before it became Firefest, they got between 3,000 and 4,000 people that came through. And we're making much heftier, bigger event this year. I mean, last year they didn't have the stages, they didn't have the music, they didn't have half the stuff that we're bringing to the town fields in Pepperell, Mass. This year. So I expect to see those numbers swell. So
yeah,
chop, chop. Hook me up with some of your musical friends that might like to come and use this as an opportunity to get their music out.
Yeah, if you can email me the details, I can. I'm sure I can find you some people.
Yeah,
I just need hard details to communicate. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so a flyer that gives you the times and dates and everything is not going to be enough. So I'll have to figure out what you mean by hard details, but we don't need to do it right now on the air.
Right.
So
yeah.
So anyways, so what else besides taking on this new bear of a that eats 10 hours of your week, at least 10 hours on air, which means that it eats at least 15 to 20, because it's not like you just, there's no prep time. There's always prep time.
Right.
How's it going?
Very well. Yeah, the show's going great. IPM Nation continues to do very well. I'm busier than I've ever been in my life, and very happy about it. So things are good. Life is good.
Busy and loving it.
Yes.
Well, that's what's important. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
So we're going to slide into some neutral news. What What do you want to talk about this week?
Well, you know, the big story right now is Trump has announced we've pulled out of the, you know, it's funny, I almost said Kyoto Treaty, flashing back to the Bush administration. We've pulled out of the Paris Accord. We're out. And he said that we would try to renegotiate, but it's not designed for renegotiation. So,
yeah.
So we have left the Paris Accord, which I think everyone assumed we were going to. There's a lot of conflicting information about how much good being in the Paris Accord would actually do for the world, if it would actually make a difference or not. So, depending on what the source is, I'm not sure exactly what to think, what to believe about that. But I think the most interesting development in all of this is that China is now in a position to be the global leader on climate change and fighting climate change and lessening carbon emissions and all of that. China has really kind of taken the lead. And it's a very interesting dynamic, and it's something that we've never seen before. So no matter where you are on this issue, whether you believe that climate change is a real threat or not, the shifting dynamic on this in terms of who is taking the lead, because it's clearly no longer the United States, it is now China. And it's I just think that's remarkable. And I wonder how many people are really considering the long-term implications of that in terms of what that means, what walking away from the Paris Accord really means. I mean, because even those who are for it must realize that there are some potential consequences for this that I think are not being considered. But that was Trump made the announcement actually right before I went on the air here today at WMNH, so it was still kind of up in the air, but I think everyone kind of knew where he was headed with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so there's a couple of things. First of all, China may take the lead, but as these agreements stood, China and India had no obligations under the agreement until 2030. Because they were allowed a window of time to catch up to the rest of the industrialized world. So China taking the lead, I agree, is a very interesting thing. I mean, we're losing a lot of faith among our European allies. And again, you know, this is neutral news, so I'm not offering opinions here. I'm quoting what we're hearing out of Europe. Merkel was pretty clear when she said, I mean, you know, she said that you know, they could not rely anymore, and the inference was clearly on the U.S., and that they needed to, you know, be taking care of themselves, which in one hand, I go, well, you know, that is kind of about time. We have been running around playing social worker and policeman and all of this stuff for the whole world, and besides making some rich people richer that make money off of our war machine, I don't know how good it's done us as a country to be this active in the world.
Right.
You know, so there's kind of, you know, so I've got some, you know, I've got some concerns here that I'm not sure that I'm A, against it, because on one hand, everybody said this was not going to achieve the goal to get to a 3.6. There was a drop to a 3.6% impact level and blah, blah, blah. And even with everything that was in place, we weren't going to be able, we were not on track to meet our part of the agreement. And, you know, and the Obama administration was putting in some, you know, they were putting in sometimes some aggressive stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong. And I am a believer of climate change. So I will put that out there. Something is messing with the environment. And I think that it's, you know, the ostrich with the head in the sand. If you don't think that we are impacting the environment with our poor environmental choices. I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, you know, how can we not own that we're affecting the environment in a negative way? Of course we are. We're the most destructive species on the planet. Go ahead.
I think that is where we can all agree, because even people who deny climate change, I think objectively, you know, anyone can agree that what we do affects the environment. That's why it's illegal to litter. You know, just on a basic level, I think even those who don't think that anything we do has any long-term effect on the climate itself cannot deny that what we do does have some effect on the environment. So I think that's a good place of agreement for everyone. But then there's all these other questions about how much does it affect climate? Do we actually affect the climate itself? And there's a lot of conflicting information. And there's also too a theory that nobody really talks about, but some climatologists have gone on record saying that part of what is problematic about taking these steps to mitigate the damage is that it's actually too late. I mean, this is out there. I'm not saying a lot of them are saying this, but there are climatologists who are saying that, look, we've already passed the tipping point. So anything that we do now is really just a feel-good sort of effort, but there's really nothing we can do to stave off the long-term effects of climate change at this point, which is sounds defeatist and whatnot. I'm just saying, though, that is out there, and it's an element of this that doesn't get spoken about very often.
And we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner. And your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we are challenging everything and everyone, and we are challenging everything and everyone on the first Thursday of the month with none other than Matt Connaughton. Matt Connaughton is a hypnotist. He is a radio and TV show host. He is the founder of IPM Nation, and he is the person who created Dr. Kevin and Friends Network, which you can find on ipmnation.com. If you go there and look, you'll see a Dr. Kevin and Friends, where you can have Dr. Kevin in your ears and your eyes. You can be with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So can I hear some screams, some terrified screams there? I mean, I'd be terrified screaming if I had to live with Dr. Kevin 24/7.
But you do.
So, no, I don't.
You all right?
Yeah. I'm just waiting to see if you're going to respond to that.
I was going to say, then I heard, it sounded like you were in pain or something. I thought you went, ah.
Oh, no. I just laughed.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, I don't live with Dr. Kevin 24/7. I live with me 24/7, but, you know, there's Dr. Kevin, and then there's Poet Kevin, and then there's fiance Kevin, and there's friend Kevin, and there's all sorts of Kevins, and Dr. Kevin is just one of them. So I don't live with him 24/7. Are you kidding?
But wherever you go, there you are.
Well, you know, it's just which me shows up, right? Yeah, I know. So now we're going to move out of these spiritual metaphysical topics. We're going to get back to neutral news, and we're talking about pulling out of the Accords. And I think that, you know, one of the things is that I found interesting about this whole thing is the coal industry wanted him to stay.
I know.
He tries to tout this as something to help bring back the coal industry. And the coal industry is like, this is not going to bring back the coal industry. Fracking has the fracking, which is another whole thing of great concern as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, fracking has basically, really taken a lot of the stuff away from the coal industry. And they're down to like something like 30% of what they're supplying. And they actually hope that this agreement might push some things in their way of how to redo coal or how to do coal byproducts or stuff like this. So it's really interesting. Whoever he says it's for, I think that, it's one of those things. Do you think, because you realize he can't just pull out. This is like a 4 to 5 year process for him to pull out of this.
Right. Although there are elements of it that are non-binding. So there are some parts of it that he can just ignore, as other countries, the Philippines, being one of them, for example, there are certain elements of the accord that you can just ignore and it doesn't matter, but you're right. He can't just say, that's it. We're out. We quit. We're going home. Yeah.
No. And by the time he's out of office, we may not have lost our ability to work our way back up into the accords because we won't be completely out of them. So, I mean, I'm just putting that out there. Again, go ahead.
Right. Well, I was going to say too, and I might have mentioned this already. Forgive me if I think I did mention this already. So forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but also too, you know, he was talking about in his statement, renegotiating our participation in the accord, but it's not designed for that. In other words, it's not something, you know, and this is not unusual for him. He speaks about renegotiating NAFTA and renegotiating our trade agreements with China and very often, and again, this isn't to criticize him because we're trying to keep this objective, but the pattern has been, he discusses renegotiating something, and then when it appears to be difficult or cumbersome or impossible to do so, he retreats from that position and gives in, which makes me wonder if that pattern will continue. Because again, I thought that was very interesting and surprising that he included the idea of renegotiating the accord in his statement. Is that an indication that he may ultimately change his mind on his statement if he realizes that this, in fact, cannot be renegotiated?
Well, it's interesting because I'm going to put this, I want this very clear, because something about the new news is if we're going to put out an opinion, we clearly state this is an opinion. We are not stating facts here,
mm-hmm.
because we're allowed to
right.
state opinions. The problem, the whole thing behind neutral news is so often opinions get stated as facts and it confuses the listener. Somebody says something and they take
sure.
it on as a fact when it was just a thing, when it was just somebody's opinion. And usually very leveraged one way or the other, depending on whether you're, you know, leaning left or leaning right or, you know, just going commando. So one of the things is that he is consistently creating diversions to try to take the conversation away from what is the connection between the Trump campaign and the Trump administration and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bane of his existence right now. He didn't want to have a special prosecutor put in place. He has tried everything. He actually tweeted in the last 24 or 36 hours, he started tweeting things about crooked Hillary again. He's trying to bring that up from the campaign to again have people look the other way, like, you know, like the shell game, you know, like the guy that, you know, when you go to the carnival, the clown that's moving the shells around to see if you can, you know, you can figure out which one the prize is under. And so
yeah.
I do wonder if some of this is just another form of his shell game. He's doing everything he can to divert attention. And we can list things that are not opinion that clearly divert attention from the conversation that he does not want to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. A couple of other interesting things I found is, you know, ExxonMobil wanted him to stay in the Accords and the Paris deal.
Quite a few, yes. Go ahead.
And you're going to just say what I was getting ready to say, which is right after that broke, Exxon shareholders voted in favor of a resolution asking the company to report annually on how it's dealing with climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what you're getting ready to say?
Yeah, and there's that, and yeah, no, that's a very interesting point. Also, too, there's other CEOs, the CEO of Apple, for example. There were a number of CEOs who were really pressuring the Trump administration to stay in, and also Ivanka Trump, who is apparently, from what I've read from the beginning, has always been concerned about climate change, and she was pressuring her father to stay in the Accord too. But the ExxonMobil thing is particularly interesting.
Well, I find it interesting that even on his own team, you had Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, several Republican congressmen, including the chairwoman of the Senate Energy, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who were all like, "No, you need to stay in." So you know, and you never know polls. I mean, polls, I'm always suspicious of. Even if they're going to reinforce what I believe or would like to believe or what I'm in favor of, even when they agree with my opinion, I'm still skeptical of them because the poll is only
sure.
good as the way the question is answered, who's doing the poll and who's being called. But they say that 62% of Americans were in favor of staying in this, that feel like it, you know, something needs
right.
to be done. But you pointed
out. Well, you're right about polls. I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say we all got reminded of that during the election about polls. All the polling indicated Hillary Clinton was going to be president.
Yeah. Well, and there was some serious damage done, really, very much at the end with the release of all these emails and all the stuff that went on. And of course, you know, we're getting ready to. We're getting ready to hear the testimony from Comey.
Yes. Comey? Oh, I'm very excited about that. Comey. Yeah, I'm very excited. That's going to be That's going to be fascinating.
He's going to next week. And, you know, and everything, what we do know is he has a history of documenting everything. That's been said over and over and over
yes.
again. He was somebody that documented stuff and did CYA really, really well.
Yes.
This was one of his strengths. And he, you know, and he, and now this is, we've been told this, that there are memos saying that he specifically wrote a memo and sent it out to say of that dinner meeting that he had with Trump. The one that Trump, again, diversionary, he better hope we have no tapes, tweet.
Okay. Yeah, what a strange thing to say, too. Just
well,
bizarre.
Yeah. Well, and there's this whole thing that there's been this huge rise in Twitter followers, but it's looking like somebody has created a bot because, like, there's been, like, some incredible number, I don't have it in front of me, of people that have joined, like, in the last few weeks, like, in, you know, like, I think it's in the millions, that have started following Trump as, you know, like, to show support, and almost none of them have faces, have almost no information, have no history.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that usually means those are paid for. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are, and they very effectively used that bot technology, you know, a month before the election, because there was a big surge there of the following. And when it was looked at, it was clearly bots, what they call bots.
Yeah.
And again,
right.
What we know is a large number of people recently started following Trump, all who have no real profile and no real face.
Yeah.
We'll be right back for the Dr. Kevin Show.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE. Or visit rain.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone, and we're challenging them here today. On our neutral news, our monthly neutral news segment. And we've done a lot of, we're doing a lot of segments, at least for the summer and into the fall. The first Thursday of every month is going to be neutral news. The second Thursday of every month, we're going to be doing the Journey to Health series with Dr. Marion Killenbeck, who is an RN and a naturopathic MD. It's a naturopathic medical doctor, an NMD. Who's going to be educating us, informing us, and you know, giving you some insights of some stuff that you may be doing that has less toxicity and less side effects. The third Thursday of every month, for the next several months, I'm going to be on with my TV host partner, Angie Dianju, and we're going to be doing a spiritual through the spiritual lens. And then that that fourth Thursday is going to kind of sort of be up for grabs for the summer. And that's where I'm going to be bringing in some different guests. So, yeah, I'm doing a little, at least temporary change to the format. So what do you think, Matt?
Well, you know, it's good to try new things.
Yeah, well,
except when it comes to food.
Especially when it comes to food.
Fussy eater.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So what I want to – so we know that Kumi is going to be testifying next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that can be – damaging. Now I'm asking you a thought process. I don't know. Have you looked into it or did you? Well, first of all, because we're into our last segment, was there any hot topics or neutral news that you had said that you wanted to make sure that you covered this week?
Well, the Paris Accord was the big thing. I don't know if you have, I can come up with something else unless you have something.
Well, I was just going to ask, do you think there's, what do you know or what have you discovered about the whole Jared Kushner thing? Is there really concern there or is it just a lot of smoke? I mean, they say, and I don't know, and you might have better knowledge because you do a lot more political shows than I do. They say that you can do... the opening up backdoor channels for an incoming president is not uncommon. Of course, it would always be uncommon if it's Russia, China, North Korea, our Middle East. That's always going to raise a few eyebrows. But what do you think? Or if you have no thoughts on that, I'm opening up to a topic that you want to talk about.
Well, as I understand it, the potential problem with what Kushner did see, yes, it is true, and you do want to have a back channel with Russia, probably multiple back channels. In fact, that's part of how we avoided catastrophe during the Cuban Missile Crisis. But the issue seems to be, though, that Kushner wanted to do this entirely independent of the United States intelligence apparatus. So in other words, he wanted to do this without anyone knowing. And that's really what the suspicion is. See, I think a lot of people have kind of misunderstood what the problem is because, in the media, very often things get kind of hypersimplified. And so the conversation largely has been, did Jared Kushner try to establish a back channel with the Russians? And if he did, that's bad. And what people don't realize is, no, that's not bad. And see, conservatives are pushing back on it, saying, no, that's not bad. You do want to have back channels with the Russians. And they're right. But so the discussion, though, because it becomes partisan, as so many things do. So you have Democrats saying, no, that's wrong. He was trying to do something shifty. And you have Republicans saying, no, it's fine. But it's not the issue. Is not the back channel with the Russians. The issue is, did he try to do this? Did he try to hide this from U.S. intelligence? And that is what is actually the issue here and is the big story. And so that's it's kind of been sort of misframed in the media, I think.
Okay. So you're saying the story is more about was he acting as a Lone Ranger and why was he trying to hide it? If this is a common practice, why would our intelligence agency have been left out of it? Is that what I hear you're saying?
Correct. Exactly. And there also seems to be evidence to suggest at this point, obviously we don't know everything yet, that he was trying to establish a back channel with the Russians specifically for business purposes, which again, if you accept the premise, which I do, that it's a good idea to have back channel communications with the Russians or or with anyone with whom, you know, they're not necessarily an enemy or an ally, but anyone who we have that kind of relationship with, it's a bit contentious and whatnot. Even if you accept that that back channel is fine, is it fine if he's doing it specifically to enrich himself or his family's business? And if that's the only reason he was doing it, that's really not fine. So
that's a misuse of power.
So that's a problem.
That's
right.
A problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, there's that fine line, you know, and definitely we're seeing a lot of these lines crossed. And we're finding that, you know, everybody says Trump's not getting a lot done, but he's getting a lot done in backdoor ways, that is slowly chipping away at environmental protections. That, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he can just be doing through executive orders, and he can just be doing wrangling. Well, again, there's this look the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we have so we have about 4 more minutes. Was there something else that you thought was going on that you wanted to bring up?
There is in Saudi Arabia, apparently they've made an effort to really step up their executions. You know, they like to behead people there. And it's interesting what goes on in Saudi Arabia in terms of human rights abuses, because we're very tight with the Saudis, of course. Trump went and spoke in front of the Saudis, gave what was actually a pretty good speech. It was fine. But then again, you know, we have this very contentious relationship with the Iranians, who actually have these open and fair and free elections. And meanwhile, the Saudis continue to engage in these human rights abuses. And we apparently have nothing to say about it, diplomatically or otherwise, as a country. And I think that's an important story. I mean, we don't have time to get really in depth with it, but I think what goes on in Saudi Arabia matters, and our lack of engagement or judgment on their human rights abuses is very relevant.
Yeah. We have a very convenient go after. We don't go after the people who are benefiting us in some way, or that we want leverage with some way. We do turn our heads the other way. And that is a problem,
right?
Because it basically makes us look like hypocrites. If this is important to you
Absolutely.
In this country, why is it important to you in every country?
Right.
You know, so I think that that's an issue. I'm going to bring up one other quick thing. We're probably going to get this cut off. The whole Kathy Griffin thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, she paid public backlash. She's lost some gigs. She's lost some stuff. You know, it was inappropriate. But was it any more inappropriate than some of the stuff that Ted Nugent said? You know, threatening to, you know, murder both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, which won him a dinner at the White House with Trump when he got elected. I mean, why did that go unnoticed? Because, I mean, he said some pretty, I mean, things which could have got him in trouble. Threatening to assassinate a president, you know, is not something they take lightly. And yet he got away with it because he was Ted Nugent. But he still said things and was as a verbally caustic as Kathy Griffin was visually caustic. So mm-hmm. Why the double standard? why was there not more outrage, or why was there not more blowback, or why was there not more people yelling and screaming that that was not okay, that are now yelling and screaming that I actually thought the picture was funny. Tell you the truth. And I think it was a representation
really?
Of a section of you know, and I'm not saying I promote violence. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I think somebody should go chop his head off.
Right.
But it's certainly not the most offensive thing I've seen by a long shot.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like it, but ultimately the free market decides, you know, CNN fired her and whatnot. I think, though, the reason that what she did has more of an impact than, say, what Ted Nugent said, and I don't condone that either, but I think it's because what she did included an image, an actual image people could see. I think that's why.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again next month, unless I bop over to Manchester and do a surprise walk-in.
I would love it.